Hey everybody, Josh Peck here. I am at the beautiful Wyndham Gettysburg Hotel, getting ready to give a couple of presentations this weekend.
Hey everybody,
Southwest Radio. Southwest Radio. Sorry, I just got distracted. I forgot to mute my playback because I have the chat window open and it plays the video while I'm recording. But anyway, Southwest Radio, they're putting on this conference. Sorry, I have been very, I have not had much sleep lately, so I'm a little fried. But I wanted to talk about what I'll be talking about during these two presentations I'm going to be giving. First, because they're just important information that I think every Christian needs, but also it helps me to round out how the presentation is going to go if I can run through it first online and then make adjustments and improvements for tomorrow and for the next day. Now, if you haven't had a chance, you can go to swrc.com and get all the information about the conference and how you can be involved in that as well. But it is going on this weekend, so I am in Gettysburg, and let's get started. I wanted to talk about the extra-dimensional nature of UFOs, and it is a topic that we've covered before, but there's a lot of new information, too, and this idea is on the rise. I'm also going to be doing another presentation about the Israel UFO connection confirmed. I've done videos on that before, back when I was speculating about what might happen. Well, then lo and behold, what I was speculating about did happen. It absolutely it came true in just the way that I speculated about, which blew my mind. And so I'm going to be doing a presentation on that to talk a little bit about that and what that means for us today and going forward. So in the chat, we got some people, Harmony, saying, great to see you live, Josh. Thank you, Harmony. Yeah, I wanted to do this live because at the end, I would love to get your feedback, the people who are viewing this. I would love to get your feedback, and if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. I'm probably not going to stay on too long because, again, I am absolutely exhausted. I am going on, I think in the past 2 days, I've had maybe an hour and a half of sleep, something like that, but it's all worth it because I love what I do, and I couldn't be happier about it. So let's dig in. I'm going to have to figure out how to use screen share here too, because I'm going to have to reference some pictures, but that's okay. Okay. Now, with the extra dimensional nature of UFOs, I wrote about this in a couple different books. I wrote about it in Unraveling the Multiverse, and also a little bit in The Day the Earth Stands Still. I wrote quite a bit about it there. But really, this starts with the difference between what's called the extraterrestrial hypothesis and the extra-dimensional hypothesis. So well-known UFO researcher Jacques Vallée wrote five arguments against the extraterrestrial origin of unidentified flying objects in support of what's called the extra-dimensional hypothesis, that the UFO phenomenon can be best described by utilizing extra dimensions instead of them being from another planet or something like that. So his five arguments are, number one, unexplained close encounters are far more numerous than required for any physical survey of the Earth. Number two, the humanoid body structure of these alleged aliens is not likely to have originated on another planet and is not biologically adapted for space travel. Number three, the reported behavior in thousands of abduction reports contradicts the hypothesis of genetic or scientific experimentation on humans by an advanced race. Number four, the extension of the phenomenon throughout recorded human history demonstrates that UFOs are not a contemporary phenomenon. So it's been something that's been cited, and we'll get a little bit into that. There's a lot of that in ancient Indian epics. Number five, the apparent ability of UFOs to manipulate space and time suggests radically different and richer alternatives. Now, based on eyewitness accounts, UFOs come in a wide variety of shapes and apparent abilities. You know, so it's not one size fits all. The three basic types of UFOs: you have a human-made physical object. So that would be something that maybe the government is working on in secret and we don't know about, but it's still within the realm of what, you know, humans could achieve. It's typically said that, you know, wherever we think we are now, we're probably about 50 years ahead in secret. So there's that. Number two, non-human made physical object. So there are non-human entities, but the physical object itself might be purely physical. That's also possible. I mean, think about it. If a human can build something, why wouldn't an extra dimensional being be able to build something? You know, we need to think of extra dimensional beings as more solid than us, not like ghosts or something. So there's that category. And then the third one, extra dimensional objects. And so in this video, that's mainly what we're going to focus on is that third type there, extra dimensional objects. So first we can talk about Flatland, and I'm not sure, probably a lot of my audience is already familiar with this, but just for those who aren't, we can go through it. The idea of Flatland was popularized by a novella written by Edwin A. Abbott from 19th century. And every physicist who talks about extra dimensions uses the Flatland example because it's the easiest way that we have available to us to understand what a higher spatial dimension would be like. And when we're talking about extra dimension, we're not talking about time here. We're talking about an extra dimension of space. So what is Flatland exactly? It's a fictional two-dimensional universe. All right. So you could think of a two-dimensional universe, say on your tabletop or something, but it's in space. It's not like on your tabletop. Exactly. Just think of it as in front of you in space. And the inhabitants of Flatland, we'll call them Flatlanders, they can only exist in two dimensions. So they can go forward, backward, left, right, and that's it. That's all they have. They have no up and down. That's the main point. Now, what would happen if you stuck your finger into Flatland? If you stuck your finger into Flatland, a Flatlander who came along and observed it would only be able to see a two-dimensional slice of your finger. They wouldn't be able to see it because there's no up or down. So they wouldn't be able to see, you know, up here, down here. They would only be able to see a two-dimensional slice of it. Now imagine you put two fingers in Flatland. What's a Flatlander going to see? Are they going to see where these two fingers are connected up here? No, they're going to see two slices of your finger, two-dimensional slices. And they would probably assume that these two things are different entities of some kind. Now imagine this too, as you're putting your fingers in Flatland to a Flatlander, you know, because they have no up or down, so they can't see your fingers coming. Right when your fingers breach to a Flatlander, it would look like they appeared out of nowhere. You know, it would look like they just appeared. You know, they didn't fly in from somewhere. They just appeared out of nowhere. And, you know, your fingertip is a lot smaller than, say, your knuckle. So as you're pushing your fingers through, they would see these two circles appear out of nowhere and grow in size. And as you got to, you know, here where your fingers converge, they would see these two circles meld together into one larger object. Now, what does that sound like, talking about UFOs? So the idea is to take that whole exercise, but then add one dimension. So instead of Flatlanders, it's us. Let's assume there's a hypothetical extra two directions. You know, for the Flatlanders, it's up and down. For us, actually, there was a name given to these hypothetical directions, Ana and Kata. But let's say that these exist and we can't see them because we don't have access to them, just like a Flatlander doesn't have access to up or down. So what would happen if an extra dimensional object, a four-dimensional object, came into our space? Well, it would be the same thing. You would just add one dimension. So instead of seeing two-dimensional, you know, circles or really from the eye view of the Flatlander, it would be a line, but they would be able to discern, you know, curvature, just like when we look at something, like if you look at this water bottle flat on, you're actually really just seeing a two-dimensional representation of it, but you're able to discern the curves and everything. You're not seeing a full three-dimensional representation of the water bottle because you can't see behind it, on top of it, underneath it all at once. Now, presumably, a four-dimensional being would be able to do that because we can see all sides of a two-dimensional object. So it's really interesting to think about. But What would happen if a four-dimensional object were to breach our space? So we would see, let's say it's something called a hypersphere. We would see basically a point in space just appear out of nowhere and expand as this thing was breaching through. Now, it would depend on the structure of the object. If there were other parts of it, it could look like parts are branching off and coming together. It would be the same thing as your fingers in Flatland. The only difference is it's in three dimensions instead of two. So it's very similar to a lot of UFO reports and even some videos that have been making the rounds. So that's what a sphere think about, to just give another analogy here, think about a sphere in flat land. It would seem to break flat land physics if you took a ball and you dropped it through flat land. You know, to us, that's the most normal, mundane thing in the world, right? But to a flatlander, they would see a point appear in space that grew and then shrank again and disappeared. And they would have no idea what happened. It's because they're seeing that ball, they're seeing that sphere, one two-dimensional section at a time, because that's all they can see. Now, think about a hypersphere. What a hypersphere, which is a sphere with four dimensions instead of three. So, you know, you have a sort of, a flatlander would hypothesize, you know, maybe there's this thing called a sphere, which is really a circle, but with three dimensions instead of two. So that's kind of what we're doing here. We're speculating what a four-dimensional sphere would look like. There's a name for it. It's called a hypersphere. And now, if a hypersphere were to breach our space, again, it would seem to break our laws of physics because you would have the same thing but an extra dimension. So a point in space, a ball would appear, and then it would get smaller. Or we might say an orb if we're using some UFO terminology. But many UFO eyewitnesses have reported that type of thing. So there's also this idea of extra dimensional unfolding. So what if you wanted to instruct a flatlander on what three-dimensional objects are like? It would be really difficult to do because how can you describe something without using up or down? How can you describe a three-dimensional object without using up or down? Well, you can use what's called extra-dimensional unfolding. I'm going to put it on screen share here so you can see what I'm talking about. And hopefully I didn't just lose. Whoops. All right, I'll take care of that. All right, here we go. That should have fixed it. Okay. So right here, this top part here, this is what you could do to a cube to explain it to a flatlander. You could unfold it into sections, which is, you know, coincidentally, the shape of a cross. And then you could lay it flat, and then the flatlander can examine all the sides of it. Now, the flatlander is not going to be able to piece together in his head the box that you started with. Because he has no frame of reference for up and down for the third dimension. But this at least gives him access to the most information possible. So imagine if a hypercube, a cube with four dimensions instead of three, if somebody wanted to explain a hypercube to us. So when you lay a cube on a two-dimensional surface, you get a square, right? Well, this is what happens with a hypercube. You get this thing. and this is kind of a transparent view of it. Now, of course, this object is a four-dimensional object, so we don't have access to a lot of the information here, but it can be unfolded into something that we can understand. So this is what the unfolding process would look like. It would unfold on planes, two-dimensional planes instead of one-dimensional edges like here with the cross. So it would unfold on these planes. And then you have this structure, which is called a tesseract. It's basically a cross with two extra arms. Now, that's something that we can look at and understand, but this tesseract here is equivalent to this flattened out cross here. Again, you're never going to be able to piece together. If you don't have access to up or down, there's no way you can imagine how this cross shape fits together into this cube. Just like we don't have access to any idea about the fourth dimension and what it would look like. So this tesseract here, we would never be able to piece together its actual shape. This is the closest we can get, you know. Just like, you know, for them, they would have for flatlanders, they would have a square and they would have this cross thing and that's it. So that's the best that we get. We can talk about Flatland Prison too. Flatland Prison. So in Acts 12:7, we read about Peter's jailbreak, which is really interesting because some of the terminology in there, it says that his the cuffs fell off of his wrists. And so the basic story is an angel comes to set Peter free out of the jail. But it says that the cuffs fall off of his wrists. What if they fell through his wrists? The language isn't incredibly specific, and I'm definitely just speculating here, but what if they fell through his wrists? And the reason that I say that is because to an extra dimensional being like an angel, getting somebody out of prison would be nothing. Just like with us, you see that little cartoon of Albert Einstein there, pulling a Flatlander out of prison would be very easy for us. Now, to those Flatlanders that are freaking out, it's because right now they would see half of this guy's body just disappeared. Because again, they can't see up or down. And you could pull him out into, you know, the third dimension and then just put him outside of the jail and he's free. Jesus, after he resurrected, it doesn't say specific. Well, actually, yeah, it does. He somehow got into the room where when it was closed off. There was no discernible way that he did that. But again, if he's extra dimensional at that point or has some type of extra dimensional capabilities, getting into a supposedly closed room would be nothing. Just like Albert Einstein there could put his hand in Flatland jail, which is supposed to be closed off. You know, Flatlanders couldn't get in there, but he could very easily. So the reason that this is important because it has a lot to do with the UFO phenomenon and spiritual reality, but it also has a lot to do with ancient history and other religions, how other religions have capitalized on some really ancient visions of the same things, the same types of things that we're seeing today. So we can look at ancient accounts from India, for example. Now, as Christians, we look at these as history, you know, or eyewitness accounts, not for spiritual guidance. So when we read these, they're going to put the person writing is going to put all sorts of spiritualized interpretation on these sightings that we don't, you know, we wouldn't want to adopt as Christians. So that's not why we're looking at them. We're not looking at them for a religious value. We're looking at them as eyewitness accounts. What did they see back then? And it doesn't sound like anything that we're seeing today. So in the Mahabharata, excuse me, it's a Sanskrit text, a flying craft called the Pushpaka is discussed. And actually, interestingly enough, an alternate meaning of the word Pushpaka is serpent, which is strange. But the Pushpaka belonged to Viswakarma, who is regarded as the quote, chief architect of the universe, end quote, which today is it's Freemasonic language, you know. Who they claim to serve. Now, Vimanas were regarded as heavenly chariots or vehicles of the gods. So from the Bhagavata Purana, it says, quote, the Vimana flashed away into heaven beyond the stars like a thought, leaving a golden trail in the sky, which dissolved in a few moments and vanished above the perfect silence that had fallen on the gathering of men on the earth below. So it flashed away into heaven beyond the stars. Well, when do the stars end? How do you get beyond the star? Where do the stars end? You have a whole universe full of stars, right? We don't know what's beyond that. But we could say where the stars end are another dimension up. And it says it leaves like a thought. Well, a thought is immaterial. It's leaving like something immaterial, left a golden trail in the sky, dissolved a few minutes, vanished above the perfect silence, so on and so forth. Here's another one, quote, I saw devas fly down to the earth in their mystic vimanas, which are swifter than light. So these things are faster than light. And that's technically, physically impossible. No physical object can be faster than light because every physical object that has mass interacts with the Higgs field. That's why the faster you go, the more mass you pick up. So that's where this comes into play. Now, photons, particles of light, they don't interact with the Higgs field, so that they don't have this problem. But any other anything that has the Higgs field is what gives particles their mass. Any particle that has mass, which you would need to build a spacecraft, any particle that has mass the faster it's traveling, the more of the Higgs field it's interacting with. You know, that's logical. But it begins to gain, it begins to gain mass because of that. It's interacting more and more and more, so it's picking up more and more and more mass. The reason that you can never go past light speed is because basically the particles break down into black holes, and because they get so, that there's so much mass in such a small amount of space. It's just, there's no way around it. So now if this was extra dimensional, however, and there was, you had other dimensions to work with here, three dimensional physics would be like what two dimensional physics are to us. You know, it would be like if we tried to do space travel with only geometry, only two-dimensional geometry, even, or we try to build a building with only two-dimensional geometry and never considered a third dimension. So that's how much more rich, you know, the, I guess you would call them laws of physics, but with an extra dimension, an extra dimensional being would be able to look at the full picture, whereas we only have access to the third dimension and down. Another one, quote, which look like immense flying jewels cut like faceted discs. What does that sound like? Which fly more quickly than light or time. Well, now we know we're talking about something that has extra dimensionality. If it's bringing time into it, how can it fly faster than time? You know, what's the speed of time? It's sort of the sentence that doesn't really make sense until you start thinking of time as a temporal dimension, comparable to a spatial dimension. There's some theories that actually say time is a spatial dimension. I'm still exploring that myself. But if it's extra dimensional, a sentence like that makes perfect sense. But if it's just something from another planet, then it makes no sense whatsoever. So why would the person write that to his audience who aren't going to know what he's talking about? So the people witnessing these things, they interpreted them based on what they saw and what they were being told by their culture and originally the false gods themselves. So ancient Indian accounts are used heavily by subscribers to the extraterrestrial hypothesis, especially with the ancient aliens crowd. And they do this to support their view of UFOs and their pilots. I want to talk about Ezekiel's vision because we get a pretty cool example of extra dimensional unfolding here, right in the Bible. So the basic rundown of Ezekiel's vision, Ezekiel sees this big construct. You know, I don't really want to call it a craft because it's not a craft. And also I want to mention too that there are a lot of meanings that all coincide here. There's a lot of various aspects of Ezekiel's vision to look at. But I just want to focus on one part of it without getting too in the weeds on the rest of it. But he sees this this amazing craft. I just called it a craft, and I said I didn't want to do that. But it's like this firmament thing that is supported by these cherubim, these four angels that seem to kind of be melded together in some weird way. And then God is on the throne on top of that, and Ezekiel sees this amazing vision. So I want to focus on the verses that show that the cherubim are kind of melded together, because this is important. So Ezekiel 1:5-9 says, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not where they went. They went everyone straight forward. Now that word for joined there, where their wings were joined together, it doesn't mean they were like taped together or roped together. It means it's more comparable to say like they were melded together. And we get that with the faces too. What's going on with the faces? Because you know, later on in Revelation, John sees these same cherubim, but they're all separated. So why is Ezekiel seeing them melded together like this? Well, Ezekiel saw a perfect example of extra dimensional unfolding. So imagine that these angels are extra dimensional creatures, right? If they are. Let me start like this. This is probably a better way to start. You have a four-dimensional hypercube, and you want to unfold that into three dimensions. Then you have the tesseract. You have the cross with the two arms on two each side. Now let's say you want to take that object and unfold it again for Flatlanders. Let's say you want to explain a hypercube to a Flatlander. You know, once you do this enough times, you're going to have some of these square sections taking up the same space as other square sections. Or like laying on top of them, or so, you know, you're going to have them taking up the same space. And the way that that would look to a Flatlander who has no concept of up and down would be that some of these pieces are melded together. So that's what's going on here. You do have four cherubim here. And to prove this further, consider the wheels, it's ophanim in Hebrew, in the vision. Ezekiel 1:15-21, it says, "Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. For as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them." Now catch this. "For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels." He said it twice there. So what is he saying? How many spirits does an angel have? That's a kind of a trick question. I mean, it is a spirit, but one, right? The spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. What if this is a two fingers in Flatland situation? What if there's some aspect of this construct that God has here for his chariot, where it looks like you have two separate objects, but they're all part of the same, they are the same thing in a way. Just like you have two fingers, they're different fingers, right? I mean, you have a pointer finger, you have a middle finger, you have a cherubim, you have an ophanim. But they're still part of one thing. But the Flatlanders wouldn't be able to see that in fingers because they can't see where they connect. Now, what if it's something like that? And that's what Ezekiel is trying to describe here. Why else? What else would that spirit of the creature in the wheels mean? He's not saying these wheels had a spirit of their own. So it's just an idea. I don't know for sure if that's the case. There's probably a lot of other ways to look at the relationship between the ophanim and the cherubim. But at least in this circumstance, when this construct is put together of God's chariot, it seems to be saying that. At least that's what it looks like to me. But again, it says, you know, the spirits of the cherubim were in the wheels. Could the wheels and living creatures be the same, just different parts? Now, here's another aspect of this. An unpopular theory in ufology is that of living UFOs. So the idea that some UFOs might actually be biological entities, extra-dimensional biological entities, or just even three-dimensional biological entities. So even though Ezekiel's vision of the wheels is quite different than what's commonly reported with extra-dimensional craft, no one reports this type of thing, right? And there's a lot of reasons for that. It was culturally relevant to the time God was telling Ezekiel something in that. And that's a whole other study. You can actually look up the work of Dr. Michael Heiser for that. Phenomenal stuff. But it's possible that some of the extra-dimensional UFOs are, in a sense, alive in the same way the cherubim and ophanim are. I mean, these wheels within a wheels, that's a class of angel. That's listed as a class of angel. You see them showing up again in the book of Daniel. So these are actually alive. You know, I mean, even Ezekiel said they had a spirit. Now, the spirit of the creatures was in the wheels. Still don't really know what that means, but it's a mystery. But they're alive. Now, we know that angels have fallen, but is it possible that there are more than the four Ophanim mentioned in Scripture? You know, is it possible that some of the other Ophanim that might be in existence actually fell? And is it also possible that this might help explain some UFO reports today? You know, the wheel within a wheel is a little bit more close to some reports. But is that possible? So that, you know, that's something that I wonder about. Now, modern M theory states that there are 11 space-time dimensions, though there might be a foundational zeroth dimension, making a total of 12 dimensions. So the way they get that is, you know, a line is the first dimension. You have forward, backward. You know, that's a line. That's the first dimension. The first point that you start with, it would be like the zeroth dimension. So if that's true, that would be 12. And it's possible that this might be represented in the faces of the cherubim. So three passages we're going to look at, Ezekiel 1:10, Ezekiel 10:14, and Revelation 4:7. They describe the four faces of the cherubim. So the ox from Ezekiel 1:10 might represent the first spatial dimension, at least in part. I believe that this vision represents a lot of things. But in context of this extra dimensional unfolding thing, the ox might represent the first dimension. And here's why I say that. Mark Flynn, in his book, Forbidden Secrets of the Labyrinth, he was able to show a circuit within the Hebrew alphabet that begins and ends with the ox, basically. And also he was able to describe how the ox was used in ancient Israel. So here's a quote from his blog. If he still has it, at the time it was SiriusTwins.com, SiriusTwins.com. And it was the ox circuit, so you can look that up. I'm not sure if that is still the web address, but you can just Google Mark Flynn, the ox circuit, and read. It's fascinating. But here's a quote from that. The threshing floor in ancient times was a flat circular area of smooth rock where an ox or a team of oxen would loosen wheat grain from the hard outer chaff. The method is still used today in places where modern machinery is not available. Now, from the ox's perspective from this thing, and I want to show, I'll show a picture here real quick so you can see what I am looking at. That's kind of small and hard to see, but you have this thing here, and they just go around and around and around and around, and that's how they did that. So from the ox's perspective, the ox is continuing in one direction continually. You know, he's technically going around in a circle, but from the ox, he's going in one direction continuously, even though he's walking in a circle. But this, included with Mark Flynn's research into Hebrew word pictures, gives us our starting point. The first spatial dimension is represented by the ox. You could even think of, more modern plows and things. If they use oxes, they go back and forth, you know, in two directions, one dimension, basically. Now the lion represents the second dimension because he has access to two spatial dimensions and he's free. You know, the lion is free to roam wherever he wants. It's not like the domesticated ox where it has to go in the one direction that it's commanded to go. The eagle, which is the next one in the list. The eagle would clearly represent the third spatial dimension since he has access to all three dimensions. The man, I believe, in the fourth face, the man, I believe, represents the fourth spatial dimension because man has an extra dimensional component, the soul or the spirit. Now we can move on to the next verse. Ezekiel 10:14 says, "And everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. And the second face was the face of a man, and the third, the face of a lion, and the fourth, the face of an eagle." So now we see that the ox has been replaced by a cherub. Now, some say maybe that's just what a cherub looks like. You know, fair enough, it might be, but the word here is different. Now, a cherub would be a true extra-dimensional being, and this could represent a new cycle of four. Now, we talked about earlier that in Ezekiel's vision that the extra dimensional unfolding would probably have been from not the fourth, but probably the fifth dimension. Because you can unfold once without having overlapping parts, but when you unfold again, that's when you're going to start seeing some overlap. So it's likely that it's that the cherubim are at least from the composed of five dimensions. Now, we're starting a new cycle of four here, starting with the cherub as the fifth dimension. So we can take this in order of mention. The cycle starts with the cherub as the fifth dimension. The cycle continues with man. That's how it's listed. So we're just going by how Ezekiel listed it here. Man, that obviously would represent the sixth dimension, you know, and interestingly enough, because the number six is the biblical number of man. Now, to the lion, that's the next one in Ezekiel's list, that would be the seventh dimension. And that has all sorts of implications, such as in the book of Revelation, and especially if the lion represents Jesus, you know, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Next, we get the eagle, the eighth dimension. And then we move on to the last verse. So we're going to have a new cycle here, Revelation 4:7. And now here's where John is kind of seeing these things in their natural habitat. You know, they're not all melded together. Revelation 4:7 says, "And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle." So we can continue. We continue to a third cycle with the lion representing the ninth dimension, to the calf, or what could be considered as maybe a repeat of the ox, 10th dimension, to the man, 11th dimension, and finally to the eagle, 12th dimension. Now, it's interesting to note here that there are three cycles, and I've wondered this. Could that be a representation of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, as triune nature? It might be. And if true, and if it really is composed, if reality is composed of 12 dimensions, it goes to show that God's creation is unimaginably complex. It's beautiful and full of strange entities who have the capability of interacting with us within our three spatial dimensions. So to wrap it up here, I want to talk about why should Christians care. It's the reason that Christians should care is because a lot of Christians are falling away from the church because of what the show Ancient Aliens and Ancient Astronaut Theory as a whole tells them. And this actually connects with my recent book with Stephen Bancars, The Second Coming of the New Age, because we address that topic. People are falling away from the church in droves because they want to be excited. You know, they want exciting information. The truth is the Bible is exciting. Everything we've talked about today, sure, I mean, we speculated a little bit. Maybe we went on a couple of rabbit trails to see where they might end up, but it's all based in Scripture. These would be all perfectly acceptable things to talk about and question and wonder about and pray to God about as a Christian. We actually have things that are way more interesting than Ancient Aliens has to offer, and they're consistent. That's the thing. Ancient Aliens, they're not consistent at all. They're not consistent with archaeology or history or any modern understanding of anything. So we have something way better. We can stop this from happening, from our children falling away from the church and getting into this stuff. We just need to tell them how cool the Bible is. But that means that we do have to take on responsibility on our own part and learn some of these cool things. And, you know, that's why people go to conferences and they watch videos. And that's why I offer a lot of free materials for you guys, because, you know, I'm here to serve you. I want to help you in your effort so you can know how to make the Bible really super exciting. And you don't even have to make the Bible super exciting. It just is exciting. You know, how you can discover how exciting the Bible really is. And once you start on that trajectory, oh man, it just doesn't end. And it gets more and more exciting as you go on. Now we talk about these topics in Unraveling the Multiverse. These are books that I wrote. Day the Earth Stands Still, I wrote that with Derek Gilbert. And the new one, The Second Coming of the New Age, which should be available anytime now. If you want to get it, you can go to the description, link in the description below. Click on that link, and it'll take you to a special offer where you can get that included with some really great DVDs and MP3 interviews that aren't available anywhere else. One of Chuck Missler's last contributions to the church as a whole is included in this package. So you'll want to get that. Now, if you want to, you could always email me, jpeck@skywatchtv.com. And please, for those of you in the chat, hold on, because I'm going to ask you your opinion in just 1 second. But I want to make sure I go through the rest of this because I'm going to in the presentation, and I want to see where I'm at on time. But YouTube.com/IntoTheMultiverse, YouTube.com/JoshPeckDisclosure, which is this channel here. Please subscribe and click the bell if you haven't already. My website is joshpeckdisclosure.com. My blog, if you want to look at my blog, it is joshpeckdisclosure.blogspot.com. And, of course, don't forget to check out Skywatch TV. You can go to skywatchtv.com for that. So let me see here. Where are we? That is what I have. And it looks like we got quite a bit of people. And I'm really interested to know what you think. So now is the time for you to talk to me one-on-one. You know, tell me what you think. Saved by Grace is saying, Josh Peck, I appreciate the way you slowly described this. I can actually understand it. Oh, okay, thank you. That's good. That's what I want to make sure of, because it's really in-depth and technical, and I want to make it understandable as well as I can. I have given this presentation before, but I've kind of updated some things. I think the first time I gave it was way too technical, and I don't want to do that to you guys. Tom Guns is saying cannabis is legal now. Okay, doesn't help me, but appreciate you writing in. Let's see. This world is fixing to become exciting in the most delusive ways. Let's see. Good job, Josh. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes, Josh, you clarify it. Thank you. So it sounds like from what a lot of you are saying that was at least sort of understandable. Like it was at least understandable in a way that makes sense. Because I don't want to confuse anybody. That's the main thing. And the good thing is, if you can understand it, I'm at the same level as you. I don't know everything about this. I want to make people wonder about it. I want to make people curious. I don't want to make people confused. Yes, it was, Josh. Thank you. Wonderful video. Thank you so much. My fluffy domesticated kittens. Oh no, my fulfy domesticated kittens. That's an interesting name. But thank you. I appreciate it. Baby boo, very well done, Josh. Thank you. All right. Well, I really appreciate the feedback, guys. You did great. I understand this more than any other video I have watched. Thank you so much. That feedback really does help me out. Now, does anybody have any criticisms? Is there any way that this presentation could have been better? And please feel free to be honest. Well, it's YouTube. I'm sure that won't be a problem. Josh is the man. Thank you. Is Apollyon the Antichrist? There's at least a connection there. I don't know how far we can really take it, but there is at least a connection there. But yeah, if anybody has any criticisms or ways that this information could have been better presented, now would be the time, because I am going to be going to bed soon. I still have a little bit to do before I go to bed. But Daniel is asking, why does my church make the Bible as boring as possible? I asked the same question. The church I grew up in did the same thing. It's what led me into New Age, and I really want to prevent that from happening to kids today. Great presentation, in my opinion. Thank you. Let's see. Well, there are two Saved by Grace on here. Two people with the name Saved by Grace. Oh, huh. Yeah, that's funny. Well, hi to both of you. Okay. All right. Okay. Anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for writing in, for watching this video live, for talking with me. You're a good man. Keep up the good work. Brother Joy Electric is saying, yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate all of your feedback. Now, for those of you who don't watch it live, who aren't watching live right now and you're watching it later, if you do have some criticism, you can leave it in the comment section below, or you can email me. Actually, just leave it in the comment section below. That'll be the easiest way to do that. And that way I will try to read it before I give this presentation. I'm giving at 11 a.m. tomorrow. It's the first presentation. And then after that, I'm going to do the UFO is real connection confirmed. I'll probably do a video on that first before. I'm sorry, guys, my brain is fried. I'm so tired. But I'll probably try to do a video on that first, just like I did with this one, to run through it and just kind of, you know, see what you guys think about it. So look for me tomorrow night on here. I'm gonna try to do that. It'll either be tomorrow night or during. I probably won't do it during the day tomorrow because I don't want to interrupt anybody who wants to watch the conference. And I'll probably be downstairs talking to people and meeting those of you who are able to show up. I always enjoy doing that. But okay, well, I am going to head out. Thank you all so much for tuning in and helping me out with this. I really appreciate you guys. That means a lot. And yeah, I think that your feedback has given me something that'll make this presentation even better than it would have been without you guys. I got to go to bed. I am spacing. All right. Love you all so much. Until hopefully tomorrow. Take care and God bless.